just very briefly tonight, I want us to go to this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Somewhat in line with what I was preaching this morning. But let me ask you something, not for you to answer out loud. I tried to get the children this week to understand that I'm asking this rhetorically. You don't have to scream an answer out. And so I would ask a question for them to think about, not to answer out loud. And so the question I'm going to ask you right now, I don't want you to say anything out loud. I want you to think about the question. Here's the question. What do people typically call a good sermon? What do people typically think good preaching is? Let me give you some possible answers. Number one is somebody who can tell stories really well. Because you leave and, wow, that was so, it kept my attention. And that had to have been good because my attention was really kept. Or somebody who screams a lot. Or somebody who's very entertaining. This is what I have seen, where entertainment is one of those things that really seems to impress people. They came, had a good time, go home, and they can tell you all the illustrations. Not the sermon itself, but they can tell you all the illustrations. Illustrations are good. Jesus used them. But that's sometimes what we think a good sermon is. What is a good book? A good book, sometimes people will say, is something that somebody wrote and I couldn't put it down. Well, why couldn't you put it down? Now I'd like some of your answers out loud. What keeps you from putting a book down? I can tell you what helps me. What's that?
Captivates.
Oh, it captivates. Yes, it's very captivating, but what makes it captivating?
Story.
Okay, you've got a story, and so that story keeps you in it. You want to know what happens with that story, okay?
Characters.
Okay.
Mystery.
Plot, mystery. What makes a good book then is all of this has to do with things. Let's say that this writer is writing on a theological subject. What makes it good? It's really some of the same things. Characters, plot, it's captivating. What makes it captivating?
It's true.
But is it the truth that really draws people? Because somebody can write a book and it can be so, I don't want to put this down because the story that's being told is what's intriguing me. And that story can draw me in and can deceive me away from the truth because the story is so compelling. Here's what I'm trying to work at tonight. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul makes a very interesting statement when he's writing to this church at Corinth. And this, like I said, seems to go along with what I was preaching this morning because he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4, are you there? He said, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words." Stop right there. My preaching, my speech was not with enticing words. In other words, he is saying that he was not trying to entice people, but I'm leaving three words out, of man's wisdom. Did Paul then just speak monotone and have no persuasive aspect of his preaching? This morning we saw that he still had to persuade men. Is that what this is saying here? That my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. He is saying that, but I think what you need to see is the contrast. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So he does not say or mean that he did not use persuasive words. He did. But what he is saying is that his speech and his preaching did not rely upon persuasive words of human wisdom. But as was demonstrated, they were of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and of power. And the reliance or the faith mentioned in verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I repeat that on purpose. Because we are very captivated, I'll use the word Ed used, we are very enthralled with illustrations that draw me in, and illustrations are good. But there are times when a preacher relies upon a great illustration, a point of logic, or something else like that to get his point across, rather than relying upon the power of the Holy Spirit to do what should be doing, what should be done. I know this has happened with me before. I'll go, oh, that man, that illustration will real, that'll help seal it in people's minds. And I give it, and everybody's just like, and I'm like, man, that fell flat. That's because I was relying upon the illustration rather than upon the Holy Spirit to do the persuading with the persuading I was trying to do. A sermon preached or a book written should trust in God's power and not in man's wisdom. This is a very interesting chapter because the Apostle Paul continues on in his chapter, and he says in verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And I've heard very often that this has to do with heaven. It's not talking about heaven at all. Now, is it true that eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him in heaven? Isn't that true? I would say that's true, but that's not what this is talking about. When you read this, what God has prepared for those who love him is not referring to material future things, but to spiritual enlightenment. Think about it. For somebody who is relying upon the Holy Spirit, because the Apostle Paul goes on in verse 6 to talk about how we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. See, this is hidden. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Then he goes in and says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. It's never even entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them. Do you realize that in your study of the scriptures, when you are relying upon the Holy Spirit, not a commentary, not a book by John Piper, not a book by John MacArthur, not a book by C.J. Mahaney or R.C. Sproul or anybody else, but when you read your Bible and you're relying upon the Holy Spirit and you're comparing scripture with scripture, you know what? You're going to see things that you never thought you were ever going to see before. And you didn't get it because this guy said it. You're seeing it because you have invested your heart, you have invested your time and your effort prayerfully into understanding what the Bible is saying. Have you ever had your devotions before where you come away and you don't want to put your Bible down? Has that ever happened to you? That's what I believe this is talking about here, where you saw something in your devotions. Wow, for them that love, what does the Bible say about those who love him? They keep his commandments. How do you know his commandments? You read about them. You're studying about them. So that is what that is referring to. Then you go on to verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by, I know it by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Too often, folks, we rely upon somebody else to do the deep searching for us. And you miss the blessing because you didn't go to the work and the effort of digging. You know, it's so much nicer if you were the one who was digging there for gold and found the gold yourself. It could be this little nugget. And you go, wow, this is so neat. I found this. This was so, the effort that I put into this, rather than going into the jewelry store going, that's pretty nice, you know. Somebody else dug that up. But when you're able to dig it up, and I'm not talking about just you, but when the Holy Spirit shows you things, it is phenomenal. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Who is going to reveal to you the things of God? It's the Holy Spirit. Too often we rely upon some other man. You rely upon coming to church Sunday morning and hearing a sermon and hearing something said from here that's going to really bless your blesser that week, you know? When really you need to be relying upon the Holy Spirit. Now we have received, it says in verse 12, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You see the source here continually? It's the Holy Spirit. It comes from God. This is from the Holy Spirit. This is from God. Which things also we speak. Now he's getting back to what we saw in verse 4. Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But verse 14 says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. What we read in the Bible takes spiritual discernment. And that's why an unbeliever can read the Bible and say, I don't see what you're seeing there. I don't understand that. And you can try to counsel an unsaved person, and they're never going to see it because they don't have the Holy Spirit to reveal to them what the Bible is teaching. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. I remember Summer Miller, and she, are you here, Summer? Summer, are you in the nursery? I remember when she was first coming, and she had all these questions, and she was asking me, she was unsaved, and she was asking questions, and I finally said, Summer, you're never going to understand that. Until you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, when the Holy Spirit indwells, I can't explain it to you because it's like explaining it to this piece of wood right here. And this wasn't about salvation. This was about some things that had to do with living the Christian life and how hard it was. And I said, Summer, you're not going to understand that until the Holy Spirit dwells within. Then all of a sudden, you're going to understand it. I think it had to do with feminism. How many of you knew that? Some are you listening? She was a feminist at the university here in town, UNC. And she could not understand why the Bible would talk about wives submitting to their husbands and so forth. And there she comes. She's shaking her finger at me. You still have a lot of feminism in it, don't you? She's not coming back on that one. She has nothing to say. But when she got saved, and that was 6 years ago today, you know, the Lord changed her life. And it's evident in her life. And it's been exciting to see. And I can say that now because she's not in here to be embarrassed, because she turns red very easily. But that's exciting when you see a Christian, and I'm saying this for people like Mercedes here, who needs to grow now. She's a baby Christian. For Brother Mark Benson, who's been growing, and Imelda. And okay, you got Blake and you've got Jaden back there, baby Christians. You need to grow now. Okay? And you need to understand from the Scripture what God is telling you from the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. Yes, God uses men. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't be preaching. But ultimately, we don't rely upon the preaching and the persuasive powers of an individual. That doesn't mean to say that the preacher says, well, I don't need to study. I ain't studied much. Pray for me, y'all. You know? No, that's not the way it goes. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. I have found this to be true time and again. I talk to unsaved people, and they want marriage counseling. And I'll say, I can't. I can't talk to you about that because you've got another problem. You're not saved. Let's start there. Because once your relationship with God is right, then you can start working on relationship with your spouse. Because your problem is you don't have the right relationship with God. When your relationship with God is right, then your relationship with other people can be right. And then you can start understanding what the Bible's saying and submitting to it. But as a non-Christian, you're not even going to submit to it. You're going to say, well, I can accept that, but I'm going to reject that. And that can't take place. When God reveals something to you, you accept it. And you obey it immediately. You do it. The Bible says in Psalm 111 and verse 10, a good understanding have all they that, does anybody know? Do his commandments. As a believer, I begin to understand God's word when I do it. I may not like it because it grates against me. It's difficult, but I do it. And then I am able to understand after I do it. I know that, you know, just from working with my dad, working in a shop, I wouldn't understand what he was doing by watching him. But then he would say, here, come in here, Dan, and help me out. I'd start working with him. All of a sudden, I began to understand it because I was doing it. And folks, sometimes you don't understand what it is. And new believers, I've seen this in new believers. Well, I don't understand this. Well, then start just doing it. Well, I don't understand why I should be in church. Then start coming. I don't know. I don't understand why I should read my Bible. Then start reading it. Because the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So start hiding it. Pretty soon, you're going to begin understanding why you should be doing it. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. So, good preaching, good writing may include stories and they may be captivating and God uses those. But ultimately, folks, if that's what we are relying upon, if that's what I am relying upon is this great story, then you know what people are going to leave remembering? That great story. They're not going to leave remembering, hey, this is what God said. And this illustration helped me understand that. God's Holy Spirit drove that home in my heart because of that illustration. Jesus used parables and illustrations, so we should. But let's rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit.